Welcome back to Momentous Struggle, a Star Wars Shatterpoint podcast. I am joined finally again by Aubrey. He finally has come back after our trip from Adepticon, and I've gotten all of the other side little interviews that I wanted to do done and everything along those lines. So this week, we're going to sit there and talk about Clone Force 99, since they are coming out a week from the time that we're recording this. So like basically a week away from getting Hunter, Omega, and Wrecker, and Crosshair, and Echo, and Tech, all of the 99, all of the Bad Batch. So pretty excited for that. Just in time for the season finale of it, of Bad Batch 2, so, or series finale, actually. So, well, let's go ahead and jump into it. Aubrey, how are we doing?
You know, Todd, today has been a day, but I am here to talk Shatterpoint. I intended to get a lot more done today, but 3D printer is going to 3D print. I had some fun trying to troubleshoot some tech issues, but it's all right. It's all right. I'm here now.
Good. Well, yeah, that happens. I mean, it is the way it is. I mean, I know you got, and like, we got to get recording done today, because I know you got a league match today. I haven't really gotten any league games in myself either. So, I mean, it's like, I would try to get a game in this week, but it's just been busy for me too, just trying to get like all the other stuff. We did our giveaway and getting all of the giveaway stuff mailed out and tracking everybody down for that. So yeah, super exciting though to get all of that out. Like a lot of people won some really cool stuff. So I'm excited to get all that out to people in the community.
Oh yeah. The Adepticon swag. I'm still amazed that they gave us as much as they did. I don't know why I'm surprised. Cause I mean, they obviously want us to, share with everyone else in the community, but I still was like, wait, this is all our stuff? We get to give away all of this? I'm like, okay, all right, that's fine.
AMG was very, very generous with the stuff that they gave out for us to hand out to the community, which was really cool. So I was really excited to do that. But before we jump into the main topic, I do want to sit there and just give a shout out to all of our patrons, because our Patreon has been blowing up for a little while here, and I'm thankful for all of our patrons. So like, and I do want to sit there and again say thank you. So to everybody that's become a patron, and I know I probably have missed people in the past, so I do want to make sure that I mention each and every one of our patrons, which is Richard, Shane, Craig, Jared, Samson, Matt, Eric, Kenny from Zion's Finest, Dan, Tater, Andrew, Dion, Connor, Sam, Sarah, Cameron, Abby, Gustavo, and Mike. All of you guys, thank you so much for being a patron. We do appreciate that. It does help us with making sure that we're able to keep on doing what we're doing and everything along those lines. And I know since Aubrey's been on a break, we haven't been able to get some of our bonus episodes out, so we'll probably give you a double taste of Aubrey and his love for Star Wars in our bonus episodes.
Oh yes, I'm very excited. Thank you everyone, I appreciate it. It's a little overwhelming, honestly. If you had told me even just a year ago that we'd be doing a podcast together and that we would have patron support for our podcast, I probably would have laughed at you, Todd. I probably would have laughed, but here we are.
It's just been a year since I started the podcast. I think it's like just about 13 months now since I started it. And then like, you know, I was like, finally, like, I need somebody else with me. So I'm like, hey, Aubrey, how about you play this game and then talk with me about it?
Yeah, it looks like your first episode went up in March of 2023. So just a little over a year now. Look at that.
Yep. Pretty crazy. All right. Well, let's go ahead and jump into the Bad Batch. I mean, and there's no better place to start than, I guess, with the leader of the Bad Batch, which is, of course, Clone Sergeant Hunter. So Clone Sergeant Hunter comes with the tags that we would pretty much expect: Bad Batch, Clone Trooper, Galactic Republic. He also has a Scoundrel tag, which is pretty cool. He's 8 squad points, 3 force, primary unit with 9 stamina, 3 durability. He does have the Clone War and Reign of the Empire tag. So the two different tags there. So he's a split era character as well. So overall, I mean, looks pretty average as far as the stat lines are concerned for, you know, your primaries, nothing too crazy. I mean, The 9 stamina is a little on the low side for a primary, but he is just a clone trooper. Even if he is a modified clone trooper.
Just a clone trooper? Excuse me. He is not a reg. Come on. Come on.
Yeah, he's a defective trooper. That's right. That's what they call him, right?
Wow. Wow, man. You and the Kaminoans will get along just well, huh? Oh, boy.
But yeah, no, I mean, so it's overall, I mean, he looks... The stat line is okay, but I think there's more to him than just his stat line for sure. So he has one active ability. We prefer going to them. At the start of this unit's activation, choose another clone trooper unit. One character in the unit may dash, and then if the chosen unit is a Bad Batch character, that character may instead advance. So this is pretty cool because you can have him with just other clone troopers and they can just make other clone troopers do a small move, but being able to sit there and give other Bad Batch guys just a long move is pretty, pretty awesome.
Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, one of the biggest things that we look for when we're looking for movement is, can a character double advance? Because not everyone can. A lot of times it's only primaries and you have to spend a force to do it or otherwise, you know, jump through some hoops. Whereas this one is like, all right, you probably bring in Brad Batch if you bring in Hunter and you're just going to hand out a full advance. That's terrifying. That's being able to take 2 points in a turn. Terrifying.
Yeah, I think it's pretty good. Pretty darn good. I mean, and especially the long movement, not just a dash. I mean, so yeah, definitely. I mean, like I said, you can bring other clone troopers. I mean, or if there's another clone trooper in like the other squad that you're bringing that you just want to move, you can definitely do that. But he definitely is pretty solid for that. So then he also has just one active ability, which is Striking Distance. And that costs 1 force. One character in this unit may dash and then make a 5-dice melee attack. So it is only melee, but he can just sit in there and you can use this to get in, make an attack, and then make his normal attack. So he gets two attacks potentially here.
Yeah, and what I like about this is you can have your cake and eat it too, or at least on the first activation, I suppose, because you could start in his ranged stance side, Huntsman, make a ranged attack, then flip over the card, get into the melee side, dash up with this ability, make a melee attack. Like, I think the reason why he's a little, easier to take down is because otherwise this would be terrifying. Like, let me just attack again. I mean, I know they're 5-dice attack. This is an Anakin, but like, that's still scary.
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, and it makes sense for Hunter. I mean, just being able to sit there and attack and then attack again. It's really on brand for the character itself. So I think it's AMG did a great job, like just capturing the character, like they always seem to do. They always do a great job with like capturing these characters. So then he has one reactive ability, which is Enhanced Tracker. When an enemy primary unit makes a move action after all moves have been resolved, this unit may use this ability. One character in this unit may dash towards the character in that enemy unit. So basically just more movement by Hunter again, just being able to sit there and just move towards whoever he's trying to sit there and attack. So just kind of like a stalker, so to speak.
Oh, yeah. No, again, now we've got movement on your opponent's turn. Now your opponent is going to have to, before they move their primaries, look around the room and be like, hey, where's Hunter? Where's Hunter? I got to be careful because Hunter, this could be the difference between scoring an objective or not. Because if Hunter can dash towards wherever their primary went and say their primary was planning on taking an objective, hey, now Hunter's here. Now you got to deal with whoever was already on that objective and Hunter.
Right. And it's global and it doesn't cost any force. So at the beginning of the turn, if like he doesn't act like, if you have him like at the bottom of your board or even like or your order deck, even if he's not, he's moving all over the place depending on how many, you know, people you got going on. So yeah, he's got a lot of movement before he even does anything. So it'll be interesting to see how he gets utilized here. So then he does have two innate abilities, one of them being his identity. The first one, which is just a regular identity or innate ability, is it's hard to compete with a Jedi. When a character in this unit defends against an attack, it may reroll up to two of its failures. If this unit has exposed, it may instead roll all of its failures.
So again, the other reason why he's got less stamina than you'd expect is, look at this thing. Like, the whole way we deal with primaries, you know, traditionally speaking in this game, traditionally, the game hasn't even been out a year, whatever. The way we normally deal with primaries is by exposing them first, because their tree is usually, their combat tree and their expertise usually depends on the, you know, not being exposed. Could get that sentence out. But this guy, he's like, no, you want to expose me? Well, I'm just going to reroll. It's fine. I didn't get good rolls. Let's try again.
Right. Yeah. It's pretty awesome. I mean, the fact that he has the ability to just reroll, there's not a lot of reroll abilities in this game as of right now. So having that ability to reroll defense dice is pretty good, especially the way I roll defense dice. So I'll probably be playing him a lot.
Yes, Hunter may be the solution to your cursed dice talk.
That might be it. All right, and then his last ability, he has the identity of the leader of the batch. When an allied clone trooper makes an attack as part of a combat action, it may change one failure result to a hit. If the character is a bad batch, it may instead change one failure result to a hit or an expertise. So again, just dice modification all over the place, and it does work even for clone troopers. So I mean, he's better with bad batch, but he does help support the clone troopers as well. So I think he's a good addition overall, just to Galactic Republic, just because of some of the clone trooper synergy he has.
Oh yeah, because I mean, one of the first places, again, I gotta go back to my original favorite. When Shatterpoint first came out, General Kenobi, and you can't run like full bad batch, right? We have two secondaries, a support, and a primary. So you're going to run them with somebody else, Republic. So I'm like, all right, hi, General Kenobi, and maybe the clone commandos, or maybe we go down a point for ARFs. I don't know. Gotta see, but that's where I'm gonna start, and then put a crosshair over there. I think that works, right? Yeah. So that's at least where I'm gonna.
Until Good Soldiers Follow Order pack comes out, and then you can run. I'm assuming you can run crosshair as a primary with a bunch of like Republic. Yeah. So I think that's gonna be a fun one too. So hey, we'll see what happens there. So let's go ahead and take a look though at the stance card. So of course, being a primary, he has two sides to it. You went ahead and mentioned the Huntsman side, so we'll go and start there. Basically, he has range 4 attacks. On Huntsman side, it's more range focused. So it's range 4, 7 dice attack, 6 defensive, and then on his melee side, 6 and 5. So overall, pretty decent dice. But again, he is allied to himself. It's not another allied character for leader of the bad batch, so he does have the ability to change his dice too. So there is, you know, that like this a little bit light on dice, I think, for some primaries, but again, he has the ability where one of those failures just isn't going to be a failure for him. His expertise chart, his DC-17 blaster pistol, 1-2 is going to give you a crit and a strike, and then or crit and a damage, I should say. 3 is going to give you a crit damage and a dash, and then 4+ gives you 2 crits, a damage, and a reposition, which is just really cool that it's like, instead of going from the dash, it goes to the reposition. So again, Hunter on brand has a lot of movement here.
Yeah, you are going to want to pin him early and often, because he's just got so much movement. I don't even know if pin is going to be enough. Like, he's just like, here's a dash and here's an advance and here's a reposition. And they're like, okay, Hunter, we get it. You do not want to stand still. All right.
Right. I mean, and even on his melee side, it's like he's got the vibro knife, which is, again, this is more of a range side. So it's only like 1-2 is just a strike. 3 is a crit and a strike, and then 4+ is 2 crits and a strike. So it's not the greatest, but that's, you really are wanting to be on his knife fighter side for if you're going to be making melee attacks. And then his modified combat armor is pretty decent. One gets you a block, two to three gets you two blocks and a recover action. Or I shouldn't say recover action, a heal. Four plus is going to get you the two blocks, another heal, and a dash again. So still, I mean, granted, you're probably not getting that very often, especially on like six dice, but it is something that can potentially happen, get that dash in there again.
Yeah, no, this is, again, the first thing you are going to want to do if you see Hunter rolling the town is get your pins ready.
Ooh. Right.
If
and
you can.
Like one of the, yeah. And one of the nice things, I mean, on his tree, I mean, he only has one shove on the second level of his stance or his tree itself, but he does have an expose on his first success, which is really cool. It's like you can either go on the top side, which has two damage, or the bottom side, which has an expose and a damage. So he can put a pretty good amount of conditions here, because he also has a strain and a pin on the bottom side of his third condition. So like if you go three and just want to go condition heavy, you can do basically two damage, a shove, expose, pin, expose, pin and strain for basically three successes, which wouldn't be that difficult for him. So
right, other people who are better at math than me have done this, and again, two to three successes is about what you expect on an average dice roll. And I mean, this is kind of nuts. I mean, yeah, he's not doing a lot of damage necessarily, although if you go the other route, you can do five damage in a shove, which is, you know, respectable,
but keep in mind,
I'm like way But
what I was going to say is like his dice are a little bit different, because a failure actually counts as an expertise because of his identity, because you change that crit to an expertise, and it's a crit and a damage at one. So it's like,
yeah, so maybe he can go higher, but I mean, either way, like I think most of the time when you're on the Huntsman side, I think you're going for Condition City, because like doing three of the four conditions available to us in one go, that's pretty appealing. I like that. I like that a lot.
It is. Yeah. I mean, but so then looking at the knife fighter side, basically is the defensive dice and the offensive dice have basically flip flopped to where it's 6 and 7 for a range and melee, and then 5 and 6 for your defensive dice. DC blaster isn't too far off. It's a strike and a damage at 1 to 2. 3 gets you a crit and a strike, and then 4+ gets you 2 crits and a strike. The vibroblade is a lot better with a crit and a dash at 1 to 2. 3 gets you 2 crits and a reposition, and then 4+ gets you 2 crits, a pin and a reposition. So like just really a lot of, again, a lot of movement out of him. Like same old story, I think, that we've heard before. And then his modified combat commando armor, one is a block, 2 to 3 is two blocks and a heal again, and then 4+ is the two blocks, the heal and the dash. So same expertise chart for defense on both sides there.
Yeah, but I mean, again, look at the combat tree though. The combat tree, if you get to 4, which it already has, you know, 2 shoves in your first 3 successes and a strain in there, along with some 4 damage. But you can either dash and do a damage, or do a reposition and a heal. Like, again, like Hunter, I, looking at this card, on any given activation, I have no idea where Hunter is going to end up by the end of the activation.
Yeah, he's going to be all over the place. I mean, and he does two shoves on his first 3, you know, like a shove, then damage on his second one, and then shove again with a strain on his, you know, so it's like shove damage, 2 damage, shove damage, strain for the first 3. And that's automatically, that goes straight across. There's no changing the tree there at all. So he's pretty strong. He's pretty strong, I think.
Well, and what I like about this is, yet again, we're getting another clone that you kind of want to be in melee. Like if you compare knife fighter to huntsman, not to say that huntsman is bad or anything, but I mean, you're getting more crits with vibro knife for the same amount of expertise. You're getting a reposition instead of a dash. And again, I'm comparing the DC blaster pistol on huntsman to the vibro knife on knife fighter. And I mean, I want I want Hunter to be up in the thick of things, just looking at this side.
Right. Yeah, I think that's kind of what I think how they're mostly going to play is that way. They're going to be in the fight, just up front. And I think that's, you know, kind of on brand for Bad Batch anyway, especially if we look at like the next ones that I want to bring up, which is Wrecker and Omega, because Wrecker just happens to be my favorite, but big dumb guy, what do you go figure? It's like, that's what I like. But yeah, again,
Big dumb jolly guy. Wrecker's always happy. As long as you let Wrecker blow something up, Wrecker's having a good day. Exactly. It must be nice.
Yeah. I mean, blowing stuff up is really exciting. But yeah, so basically it's still the same as far as the tags are concerned. Bad Batch, Clone Trooper, Galactic Republic, Scoundrel. He's a 4-point cost secondary. He has 10 stamina, 2 durability, which is, you know, pretty good for, but it's Wrecker, so you kind of expected him to have like a higher stamina than most. 4 abilities. One is his on activation ability, which is the Bulldoze. At the start of his activation, one character in this unit can dash. If it ends its movement within range 1 of one or more enemy characters, it may push those characters. So basically, he just moves forward, and then he can push somebody off a point, basically.
Yeah, this is new, right? I don't think we've had a character that has an on activation shove. That's not a thing. So let's go.
It's pretty cool. I like it. I like that ability. Then he does have one active or two active abilities. First one is which is cost 2 force. It is an action. One character in this unit may make a ranged attack. So basically, you just can make you like you can have him make 2 attacks. He just has it, which is pretty awesome. Well, him or Omega, I guess, basically.
Oh, sure. but again, like this is so you first you have Hunter, okay? You gotta spend a force, but you get a 5 dice attack. Now, if you get Wrecker, basically, like Wrecker's almost the inverse of what I was talking about with Hunter. Like he wants to run up and then push somebody away, and then maybe do like now he's in range. Maybe you do another melee attack with him, and you hopefully, you know, fingers crossed, you get another shove. Because, you know, again, looking at the bottom, this is another card with two stances, because one's the Omega side, one's the Wrecker side, which is cool. I like it. We saw that with R2 in C-3PO. But there's on the Omega side, there's a shove on two. So you could shove somebody out of melee range. Thank you, man. I can't words today. And then for their second action, cool. Now I'm going to shoot you. You forgot about Omega. Omega's going to pop out from behind at Wrecker and just bow him in the face. Like, yep. That's awesome.
Again, 2's not going to be too difficult because they're Bad Batch. If you're bringing them with Hunter, which you should be, then you can change one of your failures to an expertise or a hit, which can potentially turn something into a crit. So there's getting 2 down the tree on Omega side isn't probably going to be that difficult. So you should, statistically speaking, probably should be able to get 2 down the tree with her. So, yeah.
Well, because again, spoilers. I know. I'm always jumping ahead. But if you look at the stance cards, the melee side is the same for both sides. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there you go. No matter what, you're getting the same expertise, and with Hunter's ability. This is gonna be fun. I'm getting a little more excited the more we're talking about this, Todd. Like every time a Galactic Republic box comes out, I'm like, is this gonna be it? Is this what's gonna redeem the Galactic Republic? And this time it might be true, because these abilities look really good, and we haven't even got past the on activation yet.
Right. Yeah. Because there's one more, which is I wasn't sneaking, which is another force, which is basically you choose an active objective within range 3 that you do not control in an enemy unit and an enemy unit that is contesting that objective. You roll 5 attack dice. The chosen unit suffers a damage for each crit and hit result in the roll. Then if the chosen unit was wounded by the effect, you gain an additional momentum token. So a lot there. I don't know if that's going to be really worth it. I mean, because you're hoping to get enough to wound somebody to sit there and maybe get two momentum. I don't see this ability getting used that often, in all honesty. It's really cool, but I don't know if that's something that you're really going to be utilizing that often.
Yeah, this is one of those where you are going to remember every time this ability does the thing, and you're going to be chasing that high. But this feels a little bit like, what's his name? Grand Inquisitor's... No, not Grand Inquisitor. Who am I thinking of? I was training your Jedi arts. Is that Grievous?
That's Grievous.
Like, Grievous has that one ability that you, like, you don't use... It's not like Appetite for Destruction. You don't use it every time you activate Grievous. But when you do it, it feels really, really good, and you want to do that every time, but... Yeah, you're not doing it every time. Like, it's this is going to be one of those where you're like, remember that you have this ability, because otherwise it's going to be one of those effects where you're like, I don't use this, I don't use this, I don't use this, and then you forget about it when it's finally time, it's actually going to work and it's actually going to be good.
Yeah, no, this is like more like along the lines of, oh, I left you on one. Let me see if I can get you like that, get that one last damage off of you to try and then you just get the bonus of the extra momentum if they're left on one type of a thing. So, I mean, it's a cool ability. I just don't see it being used a lot, but hey, I mean, it'll be fun when it works. It'll be a good story for like your LGS when you actually get, you know, I wasn't sneaking to work. So cool one.
Oh, especially if like, if that like wins you the game, because there's going to be that like 1 out of 100 games where you've played and that extra, you know, momentum is going to decide the game. And some poor player like me is going to be like, I want to do this every time.
Yeah. Even you're going to try and do it over and over again and can't duplicate it. Yep. No, I get it. So last ability he has is his innate one, the Muscle of the Batch. This unit, while this unit is not wounded, allied Bad Batch characters within range 3 have Steadfast, and while this unit is not wounded, the allied Clone Troopers within range 3 and allied Scoundrels with characters within range 3 have Protection. So Bad Batch are also Clone Troopers and Scoundrels, so they are going to have Protection and Steadfast whenever they're in Bubble of Wrecker and Omega.
Yeah, and we've seen, you know, this sort of protection bubble is on a few other characters in various ways, and we see how well it works. I mean, it is something that is also disruptible. I mean, again, as long as you it's going to be a little harder, right? Because of this ability, but if once they wound him or at least get him away from the other clones, it's going to be less effective, but it's still good. It's not, that's not something to complain about.
Much easier disrupted than Mace's, because it's only range 3 versus range 5, but it's still a pretty decent ability. I mean, and like I can see this not being that big of a deal, especially if you're like keeping like Hunter close by, because Hunter just has so much movement that it's not going to be that big of a deal. So like, we're not worried about that.
That's right, true. So look, I keep forgetting. Hunter's going to be wherever you want him to be. If you can't get Hunter to where you want him to be, then you probably forgot one of his abilities.
Right. Yeah. So there's definitely, I think that like at least for Hunter, it's going to be easy to keep him within range. All right. So they have, again, like you were alluding to, there's two sides of the stance cards, one for Omega, one for a Wrecker. And both sides have the same dice when it comes to range and melee. They have a range 5 attack, though, with 6 dice. Their melee is also 6 dice, and then 5 across the board for their defensive dice. So looking at Omega's side, her range attack is called Combined Fire. It is 1 damage with 1 expertise, a strike, and a damage for 2 to 3 expertise. 4 plus gets you a crit and 2 damage. And then her melee is called Brains and Brawn. 1 to 2 gets a crit and a strike. 3 plus gets a crit, strike, and damage. And then lastly, her expertise, which this one's pretty nice. It's 1 to 2 gets you a block and reduces a crit to a regular strike. And then 3 plus is going to give you a block, reduces a crit to a failure, and then also has a dash. So really nice expertise chart for her. especially on the defense, or at least on the defensive side.
Yeah, it's really interesting to me looking at these, because this side doesn't necessarily feel like a range side versus a melee side, which is what you would I think you would expect from Omega and Wrecker. Instead, they decided to make it more of a defensive offensive side, because this side is much, much better in terms of the defensive expertise than the other side. Mm-hmm. So just something to look at. And then of course there's a lot more conditions on this side. This is the tricky side. So you can get conceivably all, well, not in one attack, but you get to pick all four conditions are on the combat tree. So, you know, get what you need. You need a disarm and a pin. Great. You need an expose and a pin. Great. You need a disarm and a strain. Great. You need an expose and a strain. Great. You could mix and match.
Yeah. So I do like this. I mean, and then on top of it, like if you didn't want to put like the strain or the pin on there at step three, you could also do two recovers. So there's a lot going on there. Again, she does have the shove at her second step. So there's some good stuff going on with this, with this card. But I think if you're attack focused, you're probably going to be on the side that's called Boom. And that is Wrecker's side. Defensive dice and offensive dice are still the same. He also, his expertise for is combined fire for his ranged attack. That one is going to be a little more damage coming in. So one expertise on that gets you two strikes, two to three gets you a crit and two strikes, and then four plus gets you two crits and a strike. So he's definitely going down his tree a little bit more based off of his expertise. I like how they switched out the names on the expertise for the offensive. On Omega's side, is called Brains and Brawn. On Wrecker's side, is called Brawn and Brains. So one to two on his melee gets you a crit and a strike, just like on the other side. Three plus gets you a crit, a strike, and a damage. His modified commando armor, it really isn't the greatest. One to two expertise gets you just one heal, and then three plus gets you a block and a heal. So you're really kind of, if you're looking at defensive side, you're really going to want to be on that Omega side. I think it's more along lines of you're just going to want to hit with Wrecker and then switch to Omega after you're done doing your attacks, because she's just a little more defensive as far as that expertise chart is concerned.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, he's a lot more straightforward, although you do get with three successes, you can get that almighty pin and shove. But I mean, there's decent damage output here. I mean, on either side, you're looking at a max of six damage, although on Omega's side, you have to get way more successes for that. On a Wrecker side, you can get six with four successes. So if you're looking to just deal some damage, you know, Boom indeed.
Yeah. I mean, four successes gets you six damage. It also gets you that pin and the strain if you go on the bottom route. So it's definitely a solid secondary unit. And like, again, he does have the ability to make a second attack. So if like you could even, you know, get, if you stayed on just the Boom side, you could just and hope to get that shove on the first attack and then just do a ranged attack again. So there are, his kit's pretty interesting. I think there's some play there for sure. So it'll be interesting I'm excited to get him and get him on the table and play some games with the Wrecker and Omega for sure.
Oh, it is going to be so much fun to paint these. Like, I forget what the picture was. They must have a big base, right? If it's
they should.
Wrecker, I believe, and Omega.
I believe they do because of like just it's Wrecker. So I'm assuming he's going to be on a 55 millimeter base.
Yeah, he's a big guy. Like, come on, waiting for my screen to load. But anyway, let me go and jump.
Yeah, he's on the bigger. No, yeah, he's definitely on the bigger base. Like the rest of them are on the small bases, but yeah, Wrecker and Omega are on the larger base. But yeah, so there's one more secondary, which is of course Crosshair. Now, something that jumps out to me right off the bat with Crosshair, again, he's four squad points, no fours, secondary unit with nine and two as far as stamina and durability. he has the Bad Batch, the Clone Trooper, and the Galactic Republic tag, but he does not have the Scoundrel tag. So he is not a scoundrel like the rest of the Bad Batch.
Well then, okay, fine.
But he does have some really cool abilities. So his active ability, on activation ability, is called Trick Shot. At the start of his activation, if no character in this unit are engaged, choose an enemy unit in line of sight. That unit suffers one damage and removes all its hunker tokens. So pretty cool. Just take away something. And it's like, there's not a range on that. They just need to be in line of sight.
Yeah, this is one of those where I feel like it's going to be super dependent on the given situation, because I mean, yeah, this is cool, but I mean, it's fine.
I don't know. You put them up on a perch and just let them like plink one little damage at somebody. You know, sometimes that's fine. That's fine. I mean, he's a sniper. You play him like a sniper. Just put him up like on a high point in the back where he can just sit there and see everybody. I think that's kind of what you're wanting to do with him.
Ironically, and maybe this is flavor reasons, but yet again, we have a Galactic Republic character that's good against Galactic Republic. Like this definitely messes with all of the other Galactic Republic synergies of I'm just going to take your hunker away.
But he's also, I mean, I think this kind of plays into where when he gets that other box, when he's, you know, the Empire or the good soldiers follow orders, because he was under the Empire at that point in time, too. So, I mean, he fought against Galactic Republic. So,
it's good flavor. It's good flavor. It's just, I just think it's funny is all. Like, okay, we have anti-Republic tech. Do we need anti-Republic tech?
Of course we do. Right. We always need anti-Republic tech.
just going to keep beating on him, Todd. All right, yeah,
that's what we need to do here. All right, so he has one active ability. Find your shot. It costs a force. Each character in this unit may climb. If any character climbs, this unit immediately makes a focus action. So let's just go ahead and give him more dice to shoot from range with, because that's what he needs to do. I like it.
Yeah, no, it feels like a sniper character. This is definitely Crosshair.
Without a doubt. And then Relax, I'll handle this. This is reactive ability. When a character in this unit makes a range attack as part of a combat action before dice are rolled, this unit may use this ability. During this attack, each time the attacker would resolve a recover action or a heal, it may choose instead to remove one condition from an allied unit that is engaged with the defending character. So basically it's like you can attack, and if you have a heal on your tree, instead you can be like, well, I see that person over there. I'll just go ahead and remove that expose that's on them, or I'll remove that expert, you know, the strain that's on them. So he can, and again, there's no range on this other than you have to be attacking someone within range 5. So this is basically his attack range to sit there and do this.
Yeah, no, this is, I like this because a lot of times you kind of feel bad when you get your recovers, because you'll often be like, you'll get your recovers, but like your character is healed and there's nobody near them and you can't, like, you don't get to use it. It essentially gets left, falls by the wayside. And so this gives you this weird way of, no, I got this. You're okay. Which is kind of cool. That's sort of what Crosshair does with the rest of the batch. Like, he hangs back, he shoots, but he's also, you know, buying time in the fight, like gaining tempo, because he's providing down, he's laying down cover fire, which is, that's right. Cool. All right.
Yeah, I like it. And of course, his last ability, the Deadeye of the Batch. I mean, this is an innate ability, which I would be surprised if this ability didn't exist with him. Characters in this unit have Sharpshooter 2. When a character in this unit makes a melee or a range attack, the target character does not benefit from cover. So basically, you use Find Your Shot for a force, make your climb action, you get to do a focus. Now you're running 3 extra dice into your attack, your ranged attacks. And the unit doesn't benefit from cover. So it's like, okay, yeah, your range attacks are doing 10 dice, basically, to jump ahead there.
Yeah, a 10 dice ranged attack is nothing to scoff at. Like, Like, this is nuts. Not to mention, with the rest of his kit, there's not going to be hunker tokens on. You're probably going to get rid of the hunker tokens off of something that you're planning on attacking. They're not getting cover. They're not getting those extra dice. Like, he's going to hit pretty hard with that sniper rifle.
Yep. Yep. Well, yeah. And so looking at his tree, range 5, 7 dice, which, like we were saying, can bump up to 10 pretty easily. Melee is 5 dice, 5 across the board for his defense. His ranged expertise is called Fire Puncher Sniper Rifle. 1 gets you a crit, 2-3 gets you 2 crits and a damage, 4+ gets you 2 crits and a reposition. His advanced combat training is his melee. 1-2 gets you 2 strikes, 3+ gets you 2 crits. Again, you're really, if you have him in melee range, you're probably doing something wrong, especially at the beginning of the game. You really want to keep him back. Then he has a modified commando armor for his defense. 1-2 gets him a block, and you reduce a crit to a strike. Then 3 gets you 2 blocks, reducing a crit to a strike. And then 4+, 2 blocks, a crit to a strike, and a heal. So I like his expertise. It's pretty solid.
Yeah, no, this is Crit City. And remember, again, you're probably running him with Hunter if you're running him, because why wouldn't you? And so he's gonna punch up a little more than we might expect. Like, this is kind of terrifying. Like, he's gonna hit, and he's gonna hit hard with that sniper rifle.
Yeah, getting all the way down his tree, I think, is gonna be a little bit easier than with most, because he's rolling, like in a lot of cases, we'll be rolling 10 dice. Whoever you're attacking is not going to be benefiting from cover. They're not going to probably have hooker tokens. So, I mean, if you go the top range with him and he gets his full tree, yeah, he doesn't have a shove until 3. But then on 5 at the top, his top level, he also has 2 more shoves. So it's like he has 3 shoves on 5 successes.
Yeah. And again, that starts with a pin. The second one is a pin and a damage. So pin, right, and maybe shove, shove, shove. You're going to be all the way away.
Yeah. And not able to move back. So yeah, I like what he's doing there. If you do go the bottom route, because of that ability that he has with those heals, he has 3 heals on his bottom route. Again, that's at 3, 4, and 6 though. So it's not always going to happen, but again, 10 dice, not benefiting from cover. It's possible you're going to get 3-4 successes pretty consistently, I think, with him.
Well, and if you look at all of his options, this is a secondary that can do 9 damage if you go that bottom route, depending right on expertise, of course. Like, if you get 3 expertise, and which is going to turn into 2 crits, and then you get 6 successes, which you're rolling 10 dice, that might happen. Like, that's a pretty good chunk of damage for a secondary. I mean, 9 takes down a lot of things in this game.
It does. Yeah, it's going to be pretty good. I think Crosshairs is going to be a solid include for a secondary unit. I mean, he's definitely going to be, if you're buying the Bad Batch, like, the nice thing is you're probably going to be just like playing the entire box and just throwing in whatever other primary you want and then whatever support unit you want, type of a thing. So I think this entire box is going to be seeing a lot of play.
Oh yeah, it looks like it's gonna be fun. I'm gonna pair this up with some other clones and probably Obi-Wan first. Although I don't know if Obi-Wan's the right choice for them. I'm wondering if, like, maybe Plo Koon might be the better choice, just because of his synergy with clones as well. So, but we'll see potentially.
I mean, the other part is, like, there is some force intensity here. You might want to sit there and play Anakin just for the extra force that he brings to, or so. I don't know. There's a lot of different ways you can go with it.
Or Vader. Oh,
sorry, you could play Vader.
Cause he's Galactic Republic. I have to complain about this at least once per episode, or people will think I'm an imposter.
That is true. All right, well, let's touch the last one, the only supporting unit that comes with the Clone Force 99, and that is Echo and Tech. So they also have the Bad Batch Clone Trooper, Galactic Republic, and Scoundrel tags. Of course, they are Clone War and Reign of Empire. One thing I will say, going back to Crosshair, he is not Reign of the Empire. He is only Clone Wars era, as far as his tags are concerned.
Oh, I missed that. Oh. Yeah,
I didn't bring that up right off the bat, but yes, he is the only one that doesn't have Reign of the Empire. So again, I think that kind of might go back to his that other thing with the Good Soldiers Follow Order box, which they kind of alluded to at the reveal about how I think that's going to change a lot of things. I think are with Crosshair are going to change with like a special ability in that box or something like that. So it'll be pretty interesting.
That's sneaky, AMG. I like it. I like it. Between the brain and bronze versus brawn and brains, and now we got this little detail. Man, that like they were seeding us here. We should have realized. Everybody who was like, but why can't we play Crosshair with the Empire? They were giving us little hints. Okay. Yep. All right.
I think so. So there's no on-activation abilities for the first time here, but it's not too surprising with support units. There is two active abilities, though. First one being Fight Smarter, Not Harder for a Force. You choose an active objective within range 3 that is controlled by an opposing player and remove one of its unit's hunker tokens. If any hunker tokens were removed, you remove the opposing player's control token from the chosen objective. Again, anti-Galactic Republic tech. But I think this is pretty cool, though, because you basically, if they have a hunker but they're staying out of melee range, you can sit there and remove that hunker anyway and then just remove controlling of a point and then maybe move on to that point and then nobody has it type of a thing. So interesting ability here.
Yeah, this again feels like one of those abilities where you're not going to use it all the time, but when you do use it, it could be devastating because...
Yeah, super situational.
Yeah, because you could be stuck in one of those. We get those situations sometimes where the priority objective rolls to the same point over and over and over. And now everybody's slowly converging on it. And you have the trouble of like breaking parity because whoever got there first is still controlling it. And so this could just, at the very least, force you to start over. Like maybe nobody has the objective after that, but now you've stopped your opponent from scoring. It's weird because again, they have to have a hunker token to get the effect. So, all right, Obi-Wan, your ability's looking worse and worse here.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's interesting. I don't, like I said, this is super situational. It's like, the only thing is like, okay, you just don't put a hunker token on someone that's going to be close to Echo and Tech. I mean, I think it's pretty easy to play around. It's just, you know, detrimental a little bit here. One thing I didn't mention, yes, four squad points for these guys as well. Their stamina and durability is 7 and 2. So staying in line with most clones being pretty low on that stamina.
Yeah. They're defective clones. They're just different. They are different, not defective. You and the Kaminoans. Oh man. It's because of their next ability, Todd.
All right. So keep a low profile for a force. Each character in this unit may dash. If any character dashes, this unit gains a hunger token.
So defensive maneuver. It's fine. This is a fine ability. Defensive maneuver works. It does the job. This makes it gives these supports some synergy again with the other Galactic Republic abilities. So it's fine. It's fine. I just wish they had one more durability. Right, durability. One more health, stamina, whatever. Yeah. One more stamina. I just one more, please. Can they have 8?
Nope, they can't. So they have one reactive ability, forward planning. When an allied primary unit within range 4 or an allied secondary unit within range 4 starts its activation, this unit may use this ability. The activation unit may remove one condition from itself. Pretty cool. Like basically just, hey, you're within range 4 and you're starting your activation, remove a condition. And there's no force on this. So until they get wounded or injured or wounded, it's just basically a free ability. So pretty cool.
Yeah, straightforward. It's good. I like I like it. It feels like you want to keep the team together. Like, this is a squad that you're going to move up one side of the board or maybe up the middle, depending on what mission pack you're on. But you're going to want to, like, this is the strike force. They're going in. They're using all of each other's abilities to just kind of sweep across the table. Yeah, you're not sending them running off on their own.
No, not at all. And then last ability, the active one, the last of the batch abilities, the brains of the batch. Well, this unit has one or more hunger token. Characters in this unit add one dice to their attack and defensive rolls. So basically, they just hunkers make them better. So you still want to bring Obi with them.
Yeah. It's just weird. You kind of don't ever want the mirror match. Like, you do not want to fight Bad Batch v. Bad Batch, because Bad Batch is really good at taking down themselves.
Defective, that's why.
No, this is some big brain play. This is like the AMG is like, well, we want the Bad Batch to be good against the Bad Batch so that we can convey the fact that they get betrayed by one of their own. I'm like, wait, whoa, this is way too big brain for me. Oh boy. All right.
All right. Well, let's look at the stance card. Military intelligence. Basically, range 4 for their melee or range attack and their melee both have 6 attack dice, 5 defensive dice at range, 4 at melee. So again, want to keep them a little bit back, and that's also shows on their expertise chart, their DC-17 blaster pistol. 1-2 gets you a crit, 3 gets you a crit and a strike, and then 4+ gets you a crit strike damage versus the advanced combat training, which is their melee. 1-2 gets you just a damage, 3 gets you a strike and a damage, and 4+ gets you a crit and a damage. So, yeah, I mean, that kind of is a your little, I wouldn't say red flag, but that basically is saying, hey, you don't want to be in melee with these guys. Their modified combat commando armor, 1-2 gets you a block, 3+ gets you 2 blocks and a heal. So it's okay, but I mean, they're a supporting unit, so you're not expecting the greatest of things under supporting units for sure. Not everybody can be a Magna Guard.
Yeah, it's just, yet again, we have another set of clone supports that I feel like they have some really cool stuff, but they're going to melt as soon as somebody with a lightsaber or an electro staff show up. And I'm just like, I think this is another like sabotage showdown. Like, you're going to want to keep these guys in Crosshair. They're on your back points. This is where they live. And you're sending Wrecker, Omega, and Hunter. They're the ones going to the midline, and they're the ones taking the fight to the enemy.
I mean,
so
I think these guys definitely will fit really well into Sabotage Showdown for sure. I mean, that's kind of where you got two that kind of stay back. Well, you got two that are going to want to go forward. So I think these are definitely a Sabotage Showdown type of unit for sure. But looking at their tree, it's okay. You got to shove it too if you go the top route. Some decent conditions. You got strain at 1, pin at 3. Or if you go the bottom route, it's basically heals and reposition. So, but there's a shove it 2, shove it 4. I don't think you're really getting past 2 or 3 successes with these guys, though. There's not. Again, they are Bad Batch, so you got them with Hunter. You can definitely get an extra 1 out of it. So at range, you might be able to get, you know, two successes pretty easily. I don't know about any more than that, though. I mean, you'll have your spiky dice as always.
Well, sure. And I mean, they do have the hunker deal where they add an extra dice. So you're probably going to try and make sure that they're rolling 7 as much as possible. But yeah, I mean, they're a support. They can only do up to 4 damage. I was actually wondering if we hadn't seen anybody have the free activation spot on their combat tree, but it's all the way at 5. So I don't know. And most of the time you're probably going to use keep a low profile before you attack because you want to get the extra extra dice from the hunker token. So, I mean, I don't know. You're probably only ever getting a couple of spots. So they're fine. They're fine. They're supports. They do their thing.
I mean, overall, though, this box is great. I mean, like, that's they're typical for your supports for Galactic Republic. There's no, they're not too special, but they have the Bad Batch tag, which is going to make them definitely just really sing with this particular box. And like I said, like you were saying, I mean, like them with Obi-Wan, like this entire box, you throw in Obi-Wan and I don't know, probably like your art, not your arts, but your commandos or something like that, just to stay on theme. I think it'd be pretty good.
Yeah, that's definitely where I'm going to start with them. I mean, I have made myself a promise that I cannot buy more stuff until I finish working on everything I've already bought. But this is probably going to be the next box that I pick up, just because I gotta dust off my General Kenobi. It's been a while since I've allowed myself to play Republic after my early disastrous attempts to both learn the game and learn what's probably the most technical faction out of everyone.
This is your first miniatures game too. So I mean, jumping right into to like the one that's not super easy, like the droids that when they first released, because it's like, oh, you just play droids and just move everybody forward and shoot everything. So yeah, there was a little bit more going on with Galactic Republic. But yeah, no, I think that kind of covers just about everything we wanted to as far as this box is concerned. So as always, I always like to thank each and every one of you for listening to us. It is always a pleasure to be in your ear holes, because that's where I like to live, in your ear holes. So again, thank you for listening, and may the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.